are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
How many people notice that Santa Claus is now not even PC? You know, Santa Claus replaces Jesus, but Santa Claus you can't have anymore because it's too close to being like Jesus. So now we have sustainability pirate. That's true. At one of the play schools or educational centres in the city, daycare centres in the city, Santa Claus is not okay, so they now have sustainability pirate. Just thought you'd like to know that. Can I have the clicker? Where's the clicker gone? Have the first slide. Thanks, Josh. Great stuff. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We think of just there's a sense of frivolity and fun in here. There's a sense of holiday season already coming. And Lord, as we look at all the wind downs, as we look at all the breakups we've had this week, as we think of all of the things that are going to happen even today, just the property full of people as we have our carol service and then move down to see the start of the light show. And then, Lord God, for every night up until Christmas, just all of those people pouring onto the property to enjoy just an incredible event. Lord God, I just pray that it would not be about a sustainability pirate. It would not be about a Santa Claus. But Lord God, it would be about you, about your love for us, your goodness for us. And even as Chris prayed, even as we sang this morning, that Father, we would be seeing, we would be championing that cause, that unto us a child is born. Father, have your way, even move by your Spirit this morning, I pray in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. You know, we've been doing this series, and I've loved this series. I've got to turn it on, don't I, Josh? I've loved this series. I've loved everything about it. I said that last week. I've said it many, many, many weeks now. I appreciate just everyone that's preached, everyone that's talked about Jesus is. I think of that sign up there and just see some of the names of Jesus is there. And again, it makes us focus. At home, we have on our wall in one of the rooms just a whole list of Jesus' names. It's just a fantastic thing. I hope that you just don't move on next year as we move into another series, another theme, and just forget about what we've done this year, but that you would focus, that you would grab who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Obviously, every name that there talks about an aspect of who Jesus is and what he has done in our life and what he does for us. And so this morning is the second part or the second message in our Christmas series that Jesus is Everlasting Father. Last week we spoke about Jesus' wonderful counselor and the focus being on counselor and the wonder of his counsel to us. As I started to prepare this message and started to think about this message, I became a little confused. How can Jesus be called Everlasting Father? Does that mean the Trinity doesn't exist? Does this mean that Jesus, the only message, the people that believe in Jesus only are right and I've been wrong all this time? And so I found this an incredibly interesting one to study. And as I've studied, as I've prepared, as I've just mused, allowed it to percolate through my system and think about it, again, it's just become such an incredible thought. And I hope that you can grab it. I hope I can get it across to you this morning. But if I don't, just think about the songs that we've sung. Just think about He Shall Reign Forever and Ever. Think about the message, the word that Chris gave. And Chris, that was just brilliant. Thank you so much for that, because that encouraged me in regard to what I'm preaching this morning. Think about what we're doing at this season. And just again, I want you to realize that Jesus is Everlasting Father. Can you turn with us this morning to Isaiah 9, 1 to 7? I read it last week. It is the text for our series. It is the text that Chris will be speaking out of next week as she talks about Mighty God. So let's read it together. Yep. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish in the former time. Remember, Isaiah 8 gives us a summary of what we're coming to. This is the doom and gloom of Israel at the time. They were being overrun. They were ready to be wiped out. They were miserable. And then this scripture, this prophecy comes in. But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. So darkness to light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they were glad when they divided the spoil. So again, from miserableness to joy. And then it says, for the yoke of the burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. And again, it's just giving us a glimpse of what happens and what has happened as Jesus came into the world. For every boot of the trampling warrior is battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. And then this incredible passage, which often we just quote without thinking too much about the words. We just quote because it's the Christmas one. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And again, I said it last week, and I again repeat myself, but there are more than 250 names and titles of Jesus is scattered from Genesis to Revelation. In this text in Isaiah, it brings together a really tight, concise package that appears nowhere else in the Bible. These eight names are just packaged so tightly. There are more names of Jesus, our Messiah, crowded into this one passage than anywhere else in the Bible. Taken together, they summarize the totality of the person and the work of Jesus. That is, they tell us who he is and what he does. And so in this passage, we see that Jesus is wonderful, that Jesus is counselor, that Jesus is mighty, that he is God, that Jesus is everlasting, that he is Father, that he is priest, and then finally that Jesus is peace. And I say it in that light of, you know, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, in eight names, because that's really what he is. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. If we were to do this passage justice, we really should look at it 8 weeks in a row, looking really at each of those words, because that's what that really means. It's somehow they've got packaged together, so Wonderful Counselor becomes Wonderful Counselor, but he is wonderful, and he is our counselor. In another way, it could be seen that it is the wonder of his counsel that we have. And as I said, that Chris will finish off next week with this series, and she'll talk about Mighty God. But let's have a look at Everlasting Father. Before we start, as I said, it's important to make sure that we understand that there is no confusion between Jesus being called Father in this passage and with God our Father. The Trinity exists. The Godhead exists. Jesus' name, as far as the Godhead is concerned, is not Father. Jesus is Son. And so in the Trinity, we do have the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Isaiah calling Jesus Everlasting Father is really describing more about Jesus' relationship with us on earth than his position in the Godhead. How he comes across to us on earth. I think we'll see this as we go ahead. I think it'll become more clear as we go ahead. But again, I want you to know that there is no confusion between God the Father and God the Son and Jesus being called Father. I believe in the Trinity, I believe in the Godhead, and that is what we preach in this church. So let's look at it in three lights today. Let's look at it and break it down into three things. Jesus is everlasting, Jesus as the Father, and then packaged together, Jesus as the Everlasting Father. So first, Jesus is everlasting. There's so many passages, so many scriptures, and again, we could spend a whole message just on the whole aspect of this everlasting. But in Psalm 45, we see that the Hebrews writer and the writer of Psalms says that your throne, O God, is forever and forever. We've sung that this morning, and we sang it beautifully. Then we read in Psalm 102, 25 to 26, it says, of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. And then Jesus reveals himself to John in Patmos, and he says to John, I am the Alpha and the Omega, or Omega, depending on where you come from, who is and who was and who is to come. And then finally, just in this little bit, we read in Hebrews 11:3 about Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, if you read back into Genesis, was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11:3, it says, he is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. He continues as priest forever. Remember, we're looking at Jesus is everlasting. Obviously, Jesus would not have been called everlasting if it were ever possible that one day he would cease. One day he would finish. One day he would end. His reign does not end. He reigns forever. We sang it this morning. Jesus always was. Jesus always is. And yes, Jesus always shall be. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is eternal in every way. In his attributes, or his qualities, his characteristics. He's eternal in his office, that's in his position and the responsibilities that he has. He is eternal in his might and his power. They do not wear out. Kryptonite doesn't hurt him. They continue. He continues. He is forever. The Bible tells us that Jesus is not dead. That's why the last enemy to be destroyed was death, because Jesus defeated death and hell. And now Jesus has risen from the dead and sits at the right hand of his Father, making intercession. He speaks on our behalf. And I love that thought, that he is up there reminding God the Father of what he did for Graham Nelson when he sees Graham Nelson not doing the right thing. It is knowing that Jesus is everlasting that I think we have the security of comfort regarding our own well-being. If he is everlasting, if he has gone before us, then when we talk about eternal life, we know we have it. I know that Pierre Van Tonder has eternal life. I know that Ian Sutherland has eternal life. I know that I will have eternal life. My life might end on this earth, but it is not finished. It changes, but it doesn't finish, because I have eternal life, because Jesus is everlasting and he has gone before me, because he lives. I know that I have a tomorrow, because he lives, because he is my Savior, because I have asked him into my life, because I've accepted what he has done on the cross of Calvary. I also will reign with him forever. I will live forever. So let's just put that one to bed. Let's just agree that he is forever. He is everlasting. And let's now unpack why he's called Father. This one's a very interesting one. There's a little book called Manners and Customs of the Bible. I love the book because it talks about some of those things that you look at it and you say, hey, why is that happening? And you go and you read this book and it explains the manners and the customs of some of the things in the Bible. And it says that in the Hebrew culture, it was a custom to call a man the father of the quality for which he is known. I'll say that again. He was called the father of the quality for that which he was known. For example, if a person was wise, he would be called the father of wisdom. If the person was an idiot, he'd be called the father of folly, the father of an idiot. That doesn't mean, and I'm not talking about your children, Chris, okay? No, the father of. You know, that's you are what you are. You are the quality of who you are. So in this verse, Jesus being called in the Hebrew father means that he is the father of certain things, that he fathered certain things for us. For example, we've just seen it. Jesus is the father of eternity. He's not the child of eternity, but he's the father of it. He gave birth to eternity. Paul in Corinthians speaks really clearly about this, and he gives an incredibly fine example to help us understand why Jesus is the father of eternity. Paul talks about those who are in Adam, and then he talks about the second Adam. Paul calls the first Adam the father of the human race. He says it was because of the first Adam that we were supposed to have been blessed. But when the first Adam sinned and became disobedient, we then became sinners as he was. And that sin that we were born into because of the father of sin, Adam, outworks into all the generations. So every person born today, naturally, is born with sin because of the father of sin, because of the first Adam. But then Paul goes on to explain that through the second Adam, Jesus, the everlasting Father, we are now blessed, and because of that, we receive eternal life. The second Adam, Jesus, took upon himself our sin. He took upon himself our sickness. He bore our sorrows. He defeated death through his resurrection. The Bible says so that any believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the Father of eternal life. In our first birth, we came under the fatherhood of fallen Adam. In our second birth, we become born again. We enter into the fatherhood of Jesus. We take on, not his characteristics, but we take on his attributes, the things that he's given to us, the thing that he gained for us in being the father of the resurrection, the father who redeemed us. Jesus, the innocent, perfect one, gained that for us. In our fatherhood, in our natural fatherhood, we wear the image of the earthy. We wear the image of sin. We take on the characteristic of that sinful nature. But because of Jesus, the second Adam, we receive the image of the heavenly. Pastor Hal has just finished a new book called Being. We're getting it printed at the moment, and every one of you will get a copy of it for free. But it just talks about being who God wants you to be. It's me that Pastor Hal early this year had incredible revelation on and started to apply it to his life. And imagine at 102, getting fresh revelation and starting to apply it to your life. And he was so excited about that he wrote this new book. It's only been finished about a week or two ago. And it is just incredible. It really is. It's, you know, in one way, the revelation he had, we would think, well, it's just natural. I understand that. But the way he captured it and the way that God showed it to him and the way that he applied it to his life is exactly this. Seeing himself receiving the image of the heavenly through the second man, through Jesus, the Father of our freedom. Through our relationship to Adam, or through our relation with Adam, we're corrupt, we're weak. But when we come under the dominion of the second Adam, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new, the Bible says. We receive strength, we see the power of sin being broken, we see that broken. We're not under the dominion of sin because Jesus, the Father of eternity, broke the power of sin for us. Our old nature is replaced. And Ephesians says that we have available to us, because of Jesus, who fathered it for us, every spiritual blessing. Now, I could go on and I could go on with this. Needless to say, Everything we have in Christ is because Jesus fathered it for us. So Jesus is the father of Christianity. He's the father of all Christians. He's the father of divine grace through which we enjoy those robes of righteousness. Every great truth, everything we see on that board up there, the whole 250 names that describe Christ are ours because Jesus is the father of them. It is Jesus who fathered unconditional love. It is Jesus who fathered obedience. It is Jesus who fathered humility, who fathered servanthood. It's Jesus who fathered perseverance. And again, I could go on and on and on about all the things that he fathered. It is Jesus who today reveals to us redemption by his blood. And it was Jesus who first said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Born into the second Adam, not the first Adam. We're doing away with the first Adam. The second Adam is now our father. There's not one Christian doctrine. If you think about it, there's not one Christian doctrine that Jesus didn't father. Let me give you one more just as I finish this bit. He's the father of the great practical system, how we live our lives, how we walk and work today in the course of living under God. He showed us how the law is to be lived out as he fathered grace to us. The law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus, he comes up with a new law. He says, "You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you, take the tunic. Let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And so as we look at the law and we look at how the law brought us into bondage, Jesus shows us how grace brings us into freedom. How the law brings forth death, but grace brings forth life. You know, how murder was murder, but now to be angry is murder, or hatred is murder. How to have adultery was a natural thing in the Old Testament. Now if you lust after somebody in your heart, you're committing adultery. He just goes on and on and on. He shows us how to live out law, but in grace, if you know what I mean. So Jesus fathered spiritual worship. He says those who worship God must worship God in spirit and truth. Jesus is the father of salvation. In Ephesians 2, it says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God." The Message, I love the way The Message puts it. The Message says, now God has us where he wants us. With all the time in the world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Remembering Jesus is the Father of salvation. Saving is all his idea, all his work. And then it tells us all we have to do. All we must do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from the start to the finish. We don't play a major role in it. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. Why? Because he's the father of it. Jesus is the father of life. The Bible tells us, "Behold, I make all things new." It says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." It says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Jesus is living water. Jesus is the living grain of wheat that was cast into the ground to die that we might have life. It is only through receiving Jesus that we can have life. Without him, we don't have life because he is the father of life. 1 John 5:12 says, "Whoever has the Son of Life, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." It's because Jesus is the everlasting Father that we have life. So we can literally say, everything that is in Christ, Christ is the Father of. The Bible says He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Father and the finisher of our faith. If we love Him, it's because He first loved us. If we patiently endure, it's because Jesus showed us how. The Bible says, think of all the hostility He endured from a sinful people that you don't become weary and give up. Again, there's not one thing that we go through that Jesus hasn't gone through, that Jesus hasn't fathered for us. Jesus is the well from which we drink. Jesus is the one who sustains us, who nourishes us. Jesus is the Father of the age to come. He's the Father of the poor. He's the Father of the fatherless. Jesus is the everlasting Father because He does not die and He does not vacate His office. Jesus is still today, right now, the Father of His people. The founder of all gospel truth. The Father of the Christian system. True life giver, from whose wounds and by whose death we're quickened. He is our family head. And so in every sense, He lives as a father. This morning, as we come to a close, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to take this thought home with you. Andy, can I have the worship team, please? Jesus is our everlasting Father. He does not lose His children. He is not the unfathering Christ. He's the everlasting Father. There is no unchilding us. I don't know. I wrote that and I meditated a lot on this thought. And I just really feel today that this is very important to somebody or some people. No matter what you've done, no matter how you feel about yourself, Jesus is still your Father. He hasn't divorced you. He hasn't written you off. He hasn't cast you aside. He hasn't unfathered you. And for some reason, I need you to know that today. There's some people here and you feel as though your shame, your guilt, whatever it is in your life is so great that Jesus can't be your Father. That's not true. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is and always will be your everlasting Father. Jesus loves you. He is the author and the finisher of your faith, the Father of eternal life. And that is why we can sing in spirit and in truth. That is why we can sing, "Unto us a child is born." That is why we can sing those great and fantastic Christmas carols that we sing at this time of the year. That's why we can sing, and you picked some awesome songs this morning, Andy. That's why we can sing, "He shall reign forever and ever." Or we can sing, "Noel, Noel." And Amy, that was just beautiful. Where are you, Amy? Amy, I want you to sing that for us right now. First of all, I'd like that one first, okay? And there's a couple of lines in that. Can you just put that song up for me, please, Josh? Keep going. Let me keep. Yeah, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Keep going. Christ, the everlasting Lord, shall reign forevermore. Amy, you just sing it to us. Let the worship team... Guys, just close your eyes and just let this wash over you. And then once we've done that, then we're going to stand and we're going to sing, He shall reign forever and ever. Don't forget, come tonight early. Allow what we're doing right now with this sermon, this service, this whole series, allow it to wash over you as we celebrate this Christmas season. Again, I don't think I can say how much this means to us that Jesus is everlasting Father. God bless you all.